This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. God of our past, God of our future, help us to acknowledge you in our present, every day of our lives. Amen. Please be seated.
Cool. What are you doing?
Running late for curfew? What are you doing?
Making a late night sandwich like your grandma doesn't like me to.
Your secret's safe with me.
Mm-hmm. Same. So how was your party?
Lame. I don't get what's so special about New Year's.
Oh, what's special about New Year's?
Yeah, I mean, you stay up late, everyone says, Happy New Year, and then a ball drops.
Let me tell you something. I remember a year you were just born. It was a very difficult year. You may not believe this, but there was no toilet paper to be found anywhere.
Gross. Well,
that wasn't even the half of it. People couldn't shake hands. They couldn't hug. You didn't want to leave your house, or you're afraid you might get sick. And masks. Everyone was wearing masks everywhere. You couldn't tell if somebody was smiling or frowning.
That sounds weird.
You couldn't go visit with family. Not even at the holidays, you know.
Then what happened?
Well, that's the best part. Then God got us through it, just like he always does. That's why I like new. See, God says, behold, I'm doing a new thing. New, my dear, gives us a different perspective on things.
Like on toilet paper, I guess. I mean, just because it's new doesn't mean it's gonna be good.
You're right. You're right. That is why we hold on to the words of Jesus, who said, in this world you will have troubles, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. That, boop, is why we celebrate now.
Hey, Grandpa. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Do you want ham or turkey?
Happy New Year. Some of you might be as addicted to a cartoon as I am that's called Calvin and Hobbes. There is a famous one where Calvin is talking about the new year, and he says he's getting disillusioned with all these new years. They don't seem very new at all. Each new year's like the old year. Here, another year's gone by, and everything seems still the same. There's still pollution and war and stupidity and greed. Things haven't changed. I say, what kind of future is this? I thought things were supposed to improve. I thought the future was supposed to be better. And his friend Hobbes replies with his usual keen insight, the problem with the future is that it keeps turning into the present. The future continues to turn into our present unless we are willing to not let the past become our present. This eighth day of Christmas is the feast of the holy name of Jesus, and we find out why we have this feast today when we hear the last line of that gospel today. On the eighth day, it was time to circumcise the child. and Jesus receives his name at his circumcision. What happens today is an honoring of their Jewish heritage, but it becomes something that launches them forward into their future. They keep in mind their past, they use their experience of the past, but they move towards the future. We know this with Jesus. This is the first time that there is some blood spilled in his life, but we are going to see more of that in his future, as we know. Yet it is not getting stuck in the past. It is understanding the past to move forward into the future. I tell the anecdote often of someone who was sort of the rising star when I worked in Brazil, and they always said he has a lot of potential, but he never did anything. And the classic response from one of the bosses was, he has a lot of potential and he always will. Meaning he's never going to actualize that potential. It is important for us as we begin, especially this new year, after all we have been through, what are we going to do to prevent that past continuing to be our present? In how many ways have we and others continued to alter the truth, to lie, so that it fits the situation in which we would like to live? If we're going to continue like that, our past will be our present. Do we want to continue to ignore the injustices or move forward that are rampant in our society? Or do we want to do what God calls us to do, all of us, to be ministers of reconciliation? If we don't do that, our past will become our present. And more practically, do we want to continue to ignore science and continue to engage in risky behaviors that just threaten this virus from getting even worse? If we don't do anything, our past will become our present. But it doesn't have to be that way. And I would urge us not to let that happen. We're told in Revelation, God saying, "See, I am making something new. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing." There's a lot in the Bible about when God does new things, he gives people new names. Jesus receives that name today. But remember, there's a time in the gospel story where Jesus truly gives all of us new names. He says, "You aren't servants anymore. For a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I call you friends." Friends of God. True friends will look to our past, not to repeat it, but to use our knowledge of that past to move forward, so that our present, as well as our future, can be what God would have it to be. That first reading, that Aaronic blessing that we heard as our first reading, is when the people of Israel are getting forward, getting ready to move forward in their journey. It's a blessing of moving forward in the journey, not forgetting their past, but remembering that God has been faithful to them in their past, and remembering that they don't want to repeat the same mistakes, so that they can move forward. It is the same for us. So as I annually have been doing for the last few January 1sts, I don't know Walter Shadell, but he's got this great list of things to think about as we move into the new year. And he calls them the 7 ups for the new year. And the first is wake up. Begin the day with the Lord. It is God's day. Rejoice in it. Remember God as we arise. The second is dress up. Put on a smile. It improves your looks. It says something about your attitude. How many people have I met during this pandemic who can smile with their eyes? What a gift that is. The third, shut up. Watch your tongue. Don't gossip. Say nice things. As our Sunday school has as their theme this month of January, be kind. And I would like to add one today because this is the feast of the Holy Name of Jesus. And we take it too lightly the way that we use Jesus' names, that for many of us, the time when we most proclaim the name of Jesus is when we hit our thumb with a hammer. Remember our friends who practice Islam. It is considered a serious sin to take the name of God in vain. It's still one of our commandments. And we say something by the way we use that name. The fourth is stand up. Take a stand for what you believe. Resist evil. Do good. As our dearly departed brother John Lewis said, get into good trouble. 5, look up. Open your eyes to the Lord. He is your Savior. 6, reach up. Spend time in prayer with your adorations, thanksgivings, and supplications to the Lord. And finally, lift up. Be available to help those in need, serving, supporting, and sharing. And as we've said many times here, calling just to keep in touch. 7 ways that we can think about things and act upon things so that our past doesn't become our present. I reread a letter that I think is very apropos on this day. I would like to read it to you. When the horizons of man's destiny loom ashen and somber, when the deafening report of weaponry stuns yearnings for peace, when people are alienated from the outside society, spiritually isolated and weary of heart, when a child is hungry, a father desperate, and a mother fearful, the beseeching question arises, where can one turn? This year, that question is so relevant and contemporary, so deeply serious and urgent for all who will face it, that all of us must search now for a reasoned yet comforting answer. We cannot deny the dreadful conditions found in our society and in the world. Global Holocaust is no longer a mere technological possibility, it's a direct and escalating threat. The spirit of man everywhere has been dampened, and often his mind is engulfed in gloom, and there are millions of hungry children, defeated fathers, and frightened mothers in our land and others. We, these people, you, all of us, must have not only hope for the uncertain future, but also confidence in our capacity to change the menacing present. Let us put hands and heart, mind and muscle to this task. Let us not give up, for surrender and apathy are nothing but failure. In our work, let us see scorn and ridicule of us for what they are, scornful and ridiculous. Keep your hand on the plow, the old spiritual admonishes. Ain't gonna be nobody turn me around, the freedom song declares. This is a season when we can summon that kind of determination and bold purpose required to create inner peace and to commit external acts of goodwill. Peace and goodwill. The simplest and most elusive of dreams, the dreams of this season, begin with the individual before they can be extended to collective man. So let us begin with ourselves. If we as individual human beings will spurn selfishness, we shall appreciate the value of true love of self and the exhilarating beauty of living. And if we recognize that all people can become truly alive and beautiful, we will understand the cosmic truth that all men are brothers and inseparable. Then we will see where we must go and how we must live. Real brothers cannot kill each other, are incapable of oppressing each other, and are utterly unable to hate each other, because they are as one in the embodiment of dignity and respect. We who know we are brothers therefore have a duty to bring others back into the broken family of man and into our world house. In the context of the modern world, we must live together as brothers, or we shall perish divided as fools. As appropriate today as it was when it was written, December 25th, 1962, by Martin Luther King Jr. I want to end today with a little anecdote that has always been meaningful to me because it tells the story of a wonderful Christmas carol that we all know called O Little Town of Bethlehem. And it's special because that hymn was written by Philip Brooks, who is one of our own, an Episcopal priest. He had gone to the Holy Land. And coming back to Philadelphia to his church, he was impacted by that experience that he had. And so, taking that past into his present, he wrote the hymn, O Little Town of Bethlehem. There are 5 verses to that hymn. Many hymnals only have 4 verses. Even in our hymnal, this particular forgotten verse is asterisk, as if it's one that we could skip. But it certainly tells an important message to us in this regard. Where children pure and happy pray to the blessed child, where misery cries out to thee, Son of the Mother mild. Where charity stands watching and faith holds wide the door, the dark night wakes, the glory breaks, and Christmas comes once more. Faith holds wide the door. We stand in that threshold. May we move forward from our past and do what we can to create a newer and better present and future. Amen.